I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
The Tennis Podcast.
The Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Tennis Podcast, live from the Aegon Championships here at the Queen's Club. I'm Catherine Whittaker and I'm joined by Gigi Salmon to review, preview and round up a very busy day in the world of tennis. Mr. Luxembourg, Gilles Muller, tells us how his home country will be celebrating National Luxembourg Day.
Actually, the celebration was last night. They always do it the day before. And so there's big firework. I think they cancelled all of them because it was very dry.
You'll also hear from Marin Cilic, Grigor Dimitrov and Feliciano Lopez as the semi-final lineup is complete. It is daily. It's the Tennis Podcast brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. And today it is live from the Tournament Director's Balcony. Now, all of that is coming up here on The Tennis Podcast from day five of the Aegon Championships. But first, we have to bring you up to date with some news from the wider tennis world today, and that is that British number three, Dan Evans, has tested positive for a banned substance, cocaine. He held a press conference earlier on this evening, and this is what he had to say.
Hello, everyone. This is a very difficult day for me, and I wanted to come here in person, tell you guys face to face. I was notified a few days ago that I failed a drugs test in April where I tested positive for cocaine. It's really important that you know this was taken out of competition and in the context completely unrelated to tennis. I made a mistake and I must face up to it. I do not condone for one second to anyone that this was acceptable behaviour. I've let a lot of people down. My family, my coach, my team, sponsors, British tennis and my fans. I can only deeply apologise from the bottom of my heart. This has been an extremely sad and humbling experience. I hope you understand that I will not be taking any questions, and I would like to thank you for your support of my career today, for the good and the bad times.
So that is the sound of Dan Evans in what was obviously a very difficult press conference. That story will be big in tomorrow's papers. It kind of speaks for itself from our perspective. We will be talking about it, digesting it, perhaps speaking to David Law about it in due course. Unfortunately, he doesn't quite have the time today as media director of the tournament to appear on the podcast. So we will see how the story develops and we will be bringing you some comment and analysis on it in due course. But for now, we are going to focus on the events today at the Aegon Championships here at Queen's. And it's been quite a day, hasn't it, Gigi?
Yeah, it has been. Cooler conditions, but it's been getting gradually cooler as the week's gone on. Luckily, the rain stayed away and it was quarter-final day. And in this lineup to find our four semi-finalists, Catherine, we had three former champions here, all vying for a spot. The way this draw has opened up with the early defeats of Andy Murray, Stan Wawrinka, Milos Raonic, these guys thinking, hang on a second, this could be my time to shine. This could be my opportunity. And we had some good contests on quarterfinal day.
We certainly did. Should we start off by talking about Grigor Dimitrov? He was somebody that I spoke to earlier following his victory over Daniil Medvedev. A very odd match, that one, because Daniil Medvedev walked onto court and before a ball was struck, he started having some fairly rigorous medical treatment. He then promptly went 5-love down and then lost the first set. And I think everybody in the stadium was thinking he was not long for the match, that there would be an imminent retirement. And then he wins the second set, and then he goes a break up in the third set, and somehow Dimitrov was then in a real old battle and had to dig pretty deep to come back and wins. It's quite a bizarre match.
It was a 10-minute delay to the start of the match. So you think about Grigor Dimitrov, who's all set to go, and then suddenly there is this delay because treatment is being carried out around the shoulder area of Daniil Medvedev. But maybe it was a case of, yes, he went quite far behind initially, partly shoulder, maybe a few nerves, because he said to me the day before that he did get nervous stepping out onto centre court. And this was a big contest against Grigor Dimitrov. But maybe then if there was any pain, the adrenaline starts coursing through you, he didn't start to feel it as much, he found his rhythm, he's spoken about how much he loves the grass, he hits very flat, he doesn't have an enormous weapon, but he's pretty good in all areas. And then suddenly, from Grigor Dimitrov thinking, well, this is going to be great, I'm going to be back in the players' lounge in about an hour or so, he was in a battle, and it can affect both players in very different ways.
6-3, 3-6, 6-3 in the end for the 2014 champion. Let's hear from him now. He was talking about superstitions and how much he wants to win this Queen's title.
I think the will to win is pretty strong right now, and I don't allow negative thoughts to come into my head, even though I'm down, you know, break or a set. I'm just keep believing in my game and in my shots. Again, today was just a very tricky day to play out there. It was pretty windy. Playing against this kind of opponent for the first time, so it's just never easy, but I just found a way, and I think that's this is what's worth to me right now.
When you last won here in 2014, you went on to have your best ever Wimbledon, played some sensational tennis. You're now just two matches away from potentially the trophy. How much do you want to win here this year?
A lot. It's as I said, it's a very special tournament for me, and I kind of feel very, very relaxed in the same time. I don't try to put that pressure on myself. But, I mean, that's the beauty of tennis. You kind of, when you win once, you want to do it again. And you every tournament that you've kind of done well, you kind of want to repeat that. And as we all, I think athletes in general, we're so superstitious. So I'm kind of doing the same things that I did in 2014. And yeah, so far I think everything is going well, but again, I'm looking for a match after match. Again, I have to go through very solid opponents potentially in the next two rounds, so I just need to stay focused, stay grounded, and look whatever's ahead of me.
What are these things you're doing that you're superstitious
about? Just everything the same. Like, I'm just chatting to the same people, I'm having the same food, I'm using the same shower, you know, kind of the little things, but I guess in my head they make a big difference.
Feliciano Lopez, yeah. I guess you have very positive memories
of
playing.
Of course,
in here.
Saving a match point in the final. Very, very experienced player. He knows his way around the court pretty well. I would say his grass is probably one of his strongest surfaces. Big server, so in a way, I know what to expect, and I need to be ready. So yeah, whatever is thrown at me, I need to have the answers.
So that was Grigor Dimitrov, who, as we discussed, champion here in 2014. That year he went on to reach the semi-finals at Wimbledon, beating Andy Murray in the quarterfinals, playing probably the best tennis he's ever played, with the possible exception of the Australian Open earlier this year when he also reached the semi-finals. But let's for a moment just accept the premise that that was the best tennis he's ever played. How close is the Grigor Dimitrov we're seeing now to that Grigor Dimitrov?
I think the thing that stands about Dimitrov at the moment is the fight you can see. And you talked about this earlier in the week, that on the practice courts, yes, everyone can hit a good ball, they're professional players, but it's the look in his eyes. And you're seeing that out on court. A couple of occasions, he's had to fight really hard to come through. And sometimes with Dimitrov, the head can drop pretty early and it goes away from him. But he's shown incredible fight out here. He's looked pretty relaxed off court. I thought he looked quite serious when he came in to press. He didn't look in the best of moods, but I'm kind of putting that down to the focus and the place he's at the moment in terms of his tennis. We talk again and again about this partnership with Dani Valverde. They look really comfortable in each other's company. He's feeling good on this court. It's a tournament he loves because of the opportunity he was given as an 18-year-old with that wildcard when he wasn't even in the top 350 in the world. He's a champion here. The draw's opened up, and I think the tennis he's playing at the moment, as you say, is pretty good, and he's coming into form at the right time.
His opponent in the semi-final, as Dimitrov's agent just walks past us, so it was a good job we were saying positive things about him. His opponent in the semi-final will be Feliciano Lopez. It's going to be a replay of the final from 2014 when Dimitrov saved match points to come back and win. And that's pretty apt because Lopez had to save a match point himself today against Thomas Burdick to come back and win 7-6, 6-7, 7-5, the undoubtable match of the day.
Yeah, and we thought that, didn't we, this morning, that when we were looking through the four, we thought this one could be a cracker, because we do talk a lot at the moment about next gen, and they're coming through and it's their time to shine, and some of them have been shining. We can see what's happening in Haller at the moment with the young guys, and here with Daniil Medvedev today. But it showed that experience still counts for a lot. Feliciano Lopez, he's going to turn 36 soon, but he got to the final in Stuttgart last week. He's got the confidence. Thomas Berdych seems like he's got a point to prove. Thomas Berdych in the second set dropped 3 points on serve in the whole of the second set. Then there was the match point. It was the only break point of the whole match that Feliciano Lopez had to save, and it was a match point. And then he challenged on the Berdych serve. I thought there was a slight hesitation, he might not, but he did. He got it. He broke for the 11th game, and then he took the match, and he's back into the semi-finals, the first time since 2014, and it's his third semi-finals here.
And you spoke to him after the match. Here he is.
I've been playing great. The fact that I reached the finals in Stuttgart was very important for me. Coming to Queens with a lot of confidence, and yeah, hopefully we can, you know, continue the great run.
Do you feel the difference that confidence you've got in Stuttgart bringing into the run here in Queens? Does it really make a difference?
Yeah, it makes a difference. I mean, tennis is 90% mental, and as soon as you win, this is the only thing that matters at the end. And yeah, I'm very happy. You know, it's been a great week in Stuttgart. So coming to this tournament, 500 on grass, seeing the draw, and you know, it's always so tough from the very beginning here at Queens. You know, I lost some first rounds in the past against players like Cilic or Anderson, top 10 players or top 20 players from the very beginning. So I think I was a lot of confident, you know, coming into Queens after reaching the finals there. And also the fact that I beat Babrinka in the first round was also very important for me. You know, it was a tough round, but after I beat him, my confidence went also up again. And second and third round, I played some of my best tennis.
Nearly 2.5 hours on court against Thomas Berdych. We thought it would be close. There was nothing to choose between you. He dropped just 3 points on serve in the whole of the second set. We get to the third set. You get your first break point, and it happens to be a match point that you have to save.
It was tough to accept, you know, the way the match was going on, because it was almost impossible to return. We were serving great, both of us. Only 3 points he lost in the second set serving. It's two tie breaks. The way I saved the match point, so it was a lot of drama on the court today, you know. But those matches, when you win, it's amazing feeling, and it's also an extra, you know, confidence for tomorrow.
So that's Feliciano Lopez, who will take on Grigor Dimitrov in the second semi-final of the day tomorrow. Gigi, you'll be commentating on it for Five Live. What's going to happen?
Not sure. You asked me about this a little bit earlier, and I think this one's a tough one to call. You've got to remember that Feliciano Lopez was out here for 2.5 hours. He doesn't have an awful long time to recover. I know they're the second match on. I think you could say it's written in the stars for both of these guys, the fact that Dimitrov, he started the year so well with the two titles that run to the semi-finals of the Australian Open. Then his form dipped on clay, was a little bit hit and miss. Now he's back on a surface that he really liked. But you could say the same for Feliciano Lopez. He told me that he's playing some of the best tennis of his life, and the final last week, beating Wawrinka in the first round here. I think this one, it's a cop-out, but it's a toss of a coin. Both these guys are in good form. Both these guys are full of confidence. A final here for Feliciano Lopez. This is a repeat of the 2014 final, and I'm not sure I can pick a winner, but if I had to, because you're giving me that look to say you're going to make me at some point, I will go, because I went for Berdych to win the tournament, I will go for Berdych's conqueror, Feliciano Lopez.
There is some logic in there. I believe that there is logic in there. Mr. David Law, usual co-presenter of the Tennis Podcast, he's also going for Feliciano Lopez. You both sort of said there feels like there's something written in the stars for
him this year. And
you're
going for?
I'm going for Dimitrov, just to be contrary, but I think it's 51-49, really. I think there's a lot in it. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. I think it's likely to be similar to what we saw in 2014, and it'll be a treat. In the other semi-final, the first semi-final, it's Marin Cilic, the 2012 champion, taking on Gilles Muller, who we'll hear from in the second part of the show. But for now, we should talk about Mr. Marin Cilic. Experience, once again, winning out over youthful exuberance. He was very impressive himself today.
Yep, and he is yet to drop a set in this tournament. He faced Donald Young today. He's just looking comfortable. And again, it's the serve. We talk about the big servers, especially when we head onto the grass courts. But he's just looking so comfortable. He hasn't had his serve broken. He hasn't dropped a set. He's looking relaxed. He's looking really happy. And when I had a chat with him, I've got to say, he's in a very good mood.
I'm really happy. Definitely played great tennis during the week. Haven't lost my service all those three matches, and feeling really good on grass. Again today against Donald, played quite a consistent match, served really well. It was not easy conditions with gusty wind, but I managed really, really good. And I would say that maybe the worst part of the match was not converting a lot of break points that I had, but that's still a positive part. I'm giving myself a lot of opportunities, and definitely, especially on grass, that's extremely important.
Do you feel this is as good as you've been playing for a while?
I think this is the best in terms of consistency that I've been playing. Last couple months were really good, really high level of my tennis, and I definitely feel that in a certain situations I was playing even better. When I look back, but those were the patches of a couple of weeks or just even sometimes short or a little bit longer. But now in this last, I would say, 12 months, my tennis has been really, really high level, and I'm definitely happy with that.
Do you think that's as simple as putting it down to winning matches breeds confidence, or have you done something different within your game?
It's too difficult to do it just with the matches. I changed a little bit my training routine, just changed a little bit the approach to the matches, and also the way I'm preparing for the match. That's always extremely important. And when you are playing tennis, it's individual game, so it's a matter of pushing yourself in certain situations. And you have days when it's not easy. When you wake up, it's just a little bit harder than some other days, but you just have to push yourself and go through it.
Everything just seems in a really good place in the Cilic camp.
Yeah, the mood is good, isn't it? If he was wearing one of those mood bracelets, which were big when I was a kid, which change colour according to your mood, I think it would be sort of a bright yellow, wouldn't it?
Is that like those fish?
Rings exist as well. I don't think there's any science to them at all. In fact, I revise that. I'm certain there's no science to them at all. But his would be bright yellow at the moment, if there were any science to them.
That you used to get in crackers, and they were kind of mood fish. You got it out of a cracker, you put it on your palm, and the heat of your palm would tell you. I think it was about your relationship.
I think we're talking about similar things.
So this was, I'm getting a nod.
Producer Dave is nodding. Well, yeah, well, what colour would his fish be?
It'd be a very happy, positive
colour. Positive,
I think
bright yellow.
The fish curled. Basically, if the head and the tail curled on the fish, you're in a really good place. If it lay flat, I mean, that's not a good sign, as it doesn't move. And just a bit of a head or tail wiggle, not so good. But I think he's fully curled.
So, given he's fully curled, given he's a former champion here, given he's in great form, given he's a Grand Slam champion, would it be a disappointment if he doesn't end up winning the title this week?
Maybe a little
disappointment
bit
for him.
Maybe, yes, no, I think absolutely for him, because he's seen the opportunity and the opening here and the way he's played. But Gilles Muller, title last week, got a big serve, plays well on this service. He too's a happy man at the moment and comfortable with how he's playing. But yes, this is a massive opportunity for Cilic. But then you say it's a massive opportunity for Dimitrov, it's a massive opportunity for Lopez. But yeah, I think Cilic, is he the favourite for the... He probably just edges it at the moment for me, Cilic.
I predict tie breaks again, Gigi.
Weren't we wrong about that today, though?
We went Muller-Query.
We went a tie-break fest, and there was the one, so we weren't let down completely.
Well, Muller-Query is a match that we will address in the second half of the show, where Gilles Muller is our special guest, and very appropriately so, because today, it turns out, of course we knew this before doing our research for having Gilles Muller as a guest on the show, today is National Luxembourg Day. So we've covered preview, review, all the rest of it in this half of the show. In the second half of the show, you'll be hearing from Mr. Luxembourg, Gilles Muller.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
Well, here we are in the Players' Lounge, very much backstage here at the Aegon Championships at the Queen's Club. We are sat at a table in the eating area of the Players' Lounge. There are players scattered around. Ivan Dodig is to our left. Kevin Anderson also over there having a very deep chat with Ross Hutchins of the ATP. Kyle Edmund is over there having a wee spot of lunch as well. Who else have we got, Gigi? Who's in your eye line? Well, Stefan Kozlov's over
Stefan
there.
Stefan Kozlov. So he said he was leaving today. Behind us we have Team Burdick. We're not quite sure who makes up Team Burdick at
Gigi
the moment.
Gigi thinks one of them might be a brother of Burdick, but my facial recognition isn't good enough to identify the likeness.
I don't want to keep staring at people I don't know because that is in itself weird. But Thomas was sitting there, and before he ate, the rest of his team ate. He had six rackets. He took the grip off each of the rackets. He meticulously got a new one out, rewrapped all those rackets, got everything just so before he would eat.
Now, and he did it himself. He didn't have staff to do his racket.
There isn't really a sort of a Team Burdick. I mean, if it's his brother's saying, you've got to be kidding me. You're my brother. You're doing that.
Do you think Djokovic has perhaps started a new fashion then of travelling with one's brother?
Possibly. It's good to have a family member around if there is one. You say, do you fancy coming to London for a few weeks? We're going to eat in really nice places like the Players' Lounge.
Yeah, I mean, the food really is great in here, isn't it? Fabulous. We were talking about it earlier. Chicken and chorizo for lunch. Delightful.
Some salads. And it's just one of those nice places to look around. It doesn't matter that we're getting towards the end of the tournament. There are less people here. As you just touched on, Kevin Anderson, who hasn't been entered in this tournament this week, has been here practicing. Kyle Edmund is still around.
Feliciano Lopez, I've just spotted over there, who, of course, is playing his match later on today.
Opposite side of the room to Burdick.
Opposite side of the room to Burdick. He's lunching with his doubles partner, Mark Lopez. I'm trying to see what he's eating. Always fascinating to see what and when a player eats before their match. It looks like it might be pasta shape. Donald Young's mum has just walked in. She's not quite as full of as many joys as she was last time I saw her, because dear Donald has just been knocked out of the tournament at the quarterfinal stage by Marin Cilic, who we heard from earlier. But the reason we're in the Players' Lounge now is that we are going to be joined imminently, Gigi, by Marin Cilic's opponent in the semi-finals, Gilles Muller. And it's a very special day for Gilles Muller for more than one reason, isn't it?
Yes, it's national Luxembourg Day.
Is that globally or is that only in Luxembourg?
Well, I imagine it is a global thing, but I imagine it really only resonates and registers in Luxembourg?
With Luxembourgians everywhere.
With Luxembourgians everywhere. So this, what a wonderful day for Luxembourgians everywhere. And he has been named the Luxembourgian Sportsman of the Year for, I think it's the third or fourth year running.
Hang on, who was it before that? I thought you were going to say 10th or 11th year running.
No,
he's 34.
Just third or fourth. It's sort of the late blooming Gilles Muller that's come to the forefront of these awards. He's got that for sort of 3 or 4 years. And then today he beat Sam Querrey, a former champion here, on National Luxembourg Day, having won the title in Rossmalen last week. I mean, things are going pretty well for Muller at the moment.
Yes, do you think he's about to come and join us momentarily? He will be joining us. Do you think he's going to know that it's National Luxembourg Day?
I hope so. If we say Happy Luxembourg Day,
he might just look at us quizzically.
If we're crazy. Maybe, though, they say you shouldn't believe everything you read. And is it going to be one of those occasions when we find that we shouldn't believe everything we read?
Let's find out, shall we?
Ah, Gilles, welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hi. You're joining us on the tennis podcast following your victory. And do we start by saying Happy Luxembourg Day? Do we believe
national,
it's
Luxembourg
National Day?
We understand.
Sure, yeah, well, you're good informed. Yeah, that's right. You can say that, yeah, I guess.
So what a good day. You win your match. They're celebrating back home, bit of a double celebration.
Exactly, yeah.
What is a typical celebration of National Luxembourg Day?
Actually, the celebration was last night. They always do it the day before. And so there's big fireworks. I think they cancelled all of them because of the dryness, because it was very dry, so they were scared with the fires
with
and
the
stuff,
fire.
So they cancelled a few, but I think, yeah, celebrations was last night.
But you, Gilles, have provided fireworks today for Luxembourg. Come on. I was expecting a round of applause for that. A very, very good performance to reach the semi-finals here. You must be delighted. Two-time quarter-finalist before this. You've gone one better and reached the semis.
Yeah, very happy with that. I mean, that was the third time in a row that I was in the quarterfinals, and I'm very happy that finally I made it to the semis. But I'm even more pleased with the way I was playing today. It was really tough against Sam, who's a good player on grass with a big serve, and some very difficult moments in the match, and I all managed them pretty well, so I'm very happy.
We talk about confidence and playing with confidence. Having won that title in Rossmalen last week, it must have given you such a boost coming into Queens this week.
Yeah, definitely. It always helps to win matches, for sure. I mean, last year I came here and I lost the final, but I was still pretty confident. I mean, it's not only winning a tournament, but it's just winning some matches on grass. I mean, the grass season is very short, so when you start off well, it's always helping for the next matches.
And didn't you win the final? Was it on Father's Day and you had your little boys there with you on court?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was on Father's Day and they were also there. Yeah, it was perfect.
That's a special day.
Yeah.
Is how much of a factor is it for you having the boys at home? I know they don't travel with you that much. I always remember Andre Agassi saying how much of a motivation it was for him to keep playing until his children were old enough to remember him as a player. Is that something that you feel as well?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I had a pretty bad injury a couple of years ago. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. And one thing that always kept me going and kept me believing was that I wanted to play in front of my boys where they also can understand what I was doing and they could see me playing the big tournaments against the top players, and it's really like a dream what I'm living now, because I mean, they come a couple of times to some tournaments in the year, and it's really a lot of fun to see them, how they enjoy it and how they also getting like very passionate about tennis, and it's very funny.
So they are showing interest in tennis, because I spoke to Andy Murray for Eurosport at the French Open, and his daughter Sophia is just 16 months, and he said he had made his first attempt to persuade her of the joys of tennis. He'd given her a mini tennis racket and she proceeded to put it straight in the bin. How about your boys? Do they love the sport?
Yeah, they love it. Sometimes a bit too much. It's pretty tough for my wife. Like, for example, last week in Rossmalen, they had some mini tennis courts there, and so the minute I finished my matches, she had to go with them to the other courts. So she was basically watching tennis all day long, and I think she's a little bit fed up with it sometimes.
You could end up being a father on tour, Gilles. Yeah.
There was a wonderful sight there at the Sydney tournament at the start of the year, and there was a lot of focus on your boys in the crowd. They were watching, they were cheering you on. Match point, you win the match, they go back. One of your boys is on an iPad or something, he's not even watching. And you have to have that with young children to keep them occupied. But I thought they'd been watching the whole match, and that big moment, that final, he's like, yeah, no, I'm focusing on this now, Dad.
Yeah, but it has changed also now. It was the younger one, he couldn't stay there, focus on a match like for an hour and a half. But now he's able to do it. Last week in Rossmalen, we didn't bring the iPad and it was working out good. But Yeah, it was funny. I saw that image also, and it was funny.
How big a deal was that moment for you, winning the title in Sydney? I think you've been in four finals before that, your first ever tour title. Was it relief, mostly?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was something that I was working for my whole career, and I think I played my first final in 2004, so that was a long time ago, so I had to wait basically 14 years to win that title. So there was a big weight from my shoulders that fell off that moment when I won it, because it's something you want so bad, and you're working for that, and I had to wait that long, so obviously the relief was huge.
It feels a little bit like buses. You wait for one for ages, for years and years and years, and suddenly here we are in 2017, you've just picked up title number two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's funny how it works sometimes. So you had to wait that long, but now then the second one came just a few months after.
Was it easier, the second one?
Well, I definitely didn't feel that pressure anymore. I mean, obviously the pressure was huge. I played five finals before I lost them, and I think if I had to play that final last week with another two finals that I played this year, and I would have lost them, it would have been huge. So yeah, for sure the relief was huge when I won that one in Sydney, and for sure it made me feel a bit more comfortable playing the other finals.
Your game is obviously tailor-made for the grass. You seem to always bring out your best tennis here and at Wimbledon. Do you wish the season was longer? 4 weeks just isn't enough, isn't it? Because of the matches you've got in this week, I know you've counted yourself out of Eastbourne next week. So do you wish there was an extra month or so in the grass court season?
I mean, in the perfect world, yeah, for sure. But I'm pretty happy with the way the schedule is now. I think like this, you have a lot of different surfaces, and so you have something for each player. I think it's just fair like this. I mean, you have the clay, you have the slower hard courts, you have the faster hard courts, you have the indoors, and you have the grass, and I think there's something for everyone, so nobody can complain.
And it feels that 30 is the new 20, so therefore 34 is the new 24. It's incredible how things are going at the moment. If you look at the main tournaments here, dominated by Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer, you're in the final of Ross Marlin with Ivo Karlovic. It's incredible that we have the next gen coming through, but the shift that there's been and the form that players are coming into, do we put that down to just fitness, looking after yourself a little bit better? Have you thought about it?
I mean, I can only speak for myself. I mean, for me, it's I had some injuries when I was younger, and so I wasn't really fit all the time, and so I struggled a lot with that. And then I had my last injury in 2013. I had problems with my elbow, but actually, it was a good thing, to be honest, because it was the first time in my whole career that I was able to work physically in a way that I never did before, and got myself into the best shape I've ever been. Because I wasn't able to play tennis, but I was able to go out running, go to the gym, and do all that work that normally don't have time to do in a season, because the season is 10 months long, and then you need to take some rest. So basically, in a year, normally you get to work like 5-6 weeks, and here I had 5-6 months where I was able to do that, and so that helped me a lot, getting myself into a good shape, and since then I've been able to play full seasons without any breaks because of injuries, and I have a lot of confidence in my body now. I trust in my body now, that which I didn't do before, and so that made a big change for me.
And Roger Federer, when he had surgery for the very first time in his career last year, he talked about a canister. He talked about starting your career with a canister of time that you can spend, a finite amount of time that you can spend on the match court, and he talked about the time he spent out with injury. It was almost as if he was then saving that time to add on later in his career. Is that how you feel?
Exactly. Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, I had to. I wasn't able to play for at least 2 years with all my injuries. So hopefully, yeah, I can. Take that time now and play a few more years.
It's almost like you've borrowed time from earlier in your career to use later in your career. It's a smart. It's working well for Roger. So
yeah, working well for me too.
So injury free into the semi-finals. Baron Cilic is your semi-final opponent. What's the history between you two?
I think we only played once. It was I think it was last year. Yeah, Rotterdam, and it was a very close match. I lost in two sets, but two tie breaks. Remember, I had set points in the second, so it's not a tough match. I mean, I'm used to it now. I'm playing good players every day now, so there's not much that has changed. But looking forward to it. I mean, he's a top 10 player. He's been there for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I'm not sure, but he's been there like forever. So it's a big challenge for me. But I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we are too, Gilles. Best of luck. We'll expect
Happy Luxembourg Day once again.
We'll expect a tiebreak or two. Happy Luxembourg Day, and thank you very much for joining us here on the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow for another daily tennis podcast. There are only two more remaining, so make sure you enjoy us while we're here. We're enjoying bringing them to you. Join us again tomorrow.
Thank
Lovely,
you.
Thank you.
Happy National Day.
Yeah.
I'll celebrate right now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.